Why don't you just take your seats just for a moment? It's a weird one, preaching at Easter. In the same way that it's a weird one, preaching at Christmas. And those of you in the room that do preach at those times of year will understand that. Because somehow you feel this pressure that you've got to produce some swanky new fancy message. And somehow you've just got to get that fresh little angle on it. Some of you will know what I'm talking about. But I'm here today to say, to bring us right back to what the gospel is all about, to remind us of the simple truth. And it's what we've just been singing, that the message of Jesus is enough. It doesn't need any add-ons. It doesn't need extra fries with cheese on the top, you know. It doesn't need jazzing up. He's enough. Do you want to just say his name with me? Jesus. Just Jesus is enough. I've been reading through the Gospel of John. Right at the end of his gospel, after all the dramatic events that we have just been thinking upon this last week that many of us call Holy Week, as you read through the stories, and I would encourage you to do that, there are so many things that I believe we can learn, and so many, more importantly than learning, so many things the Holy Spirit just wants to reveal to us. So many wonderful things as you observe the characters and how they're responding to Jesus and how Jesus is responding to them. I'm so grateful for Dave's message last week. If you weren't here, I really encourage you to listen online as Dave just so beautifully showed us the character of Jesus. As he just so beautifully walked us through Holy Week and just pointed out the way that Jesus interacted with his followers. I don't want to repeat that message. It was just brilliant. And John explains this narrative, he explains what's happening. MJ with the children this morning did the same. And right at the end, after John has described the resurrection of Jesus, which surely has to begin with the best words ever, early Sunday morning. I mean, it always just gets me, you know. John says this one, it's a verse, of course it wasn't then. I added it up, it's 36 words. Can we put it on the screen, is that all right? James. 36 words, those of you that want to will count them now. It might be a different version, so yeah, if you want to get distracted and count them, go for it. But if not, stay concentrating on me. Yeah, Helen's already counting, I can see. Look, she's already nodding. John says this. He says, I want you to know why I've written everything I've written. Do you ever find yourself doing things? I don't know, you could be on a journey, you could be, I don't know, it doesn't actually matter what it is, but do you ever find yourself, you're on a task, you're doing something, and you get yourself in such a pickle about it, you've actually forgotten why you've even started in the first place. Does that make sense, right? Yeah, Lynn's nodding at me. Do you know, I think what John is trying to do at the end of his book is he's trying to say, can I just bring you right back to what this is all about? I've just told this whole dramatic story. We're all going, yeah, he's alive. And John says, I know that's brilliant, but can I just remind you why we're celebrating he's alive? Do you know, so often, too many of us get stuck in the moment. We get stuck in the story. We get stuck in either the excitement or in the tragedy. We get stuck in the emotion of the moment. And I wonder if on this Easter Sunday, some of us are like, yes, it's Resurrection Sunday, and you're hearing me say it. But I wonder if even in the moment of celebrating Resurrection Sunday, we're in danger of forgetting what it's all about. Am I making sense? I wonder if sometimes, even in our churchianity, we can get so distracted with so many things. And let's be honest, the main thing we get distracted with is ourselves. How am I feeling? How am I doing? Is everything all right for me? And I just wonder if we forget the main thing, if we forget what the purpose is. I wonder if this morning, Sue and Lynn, you can be so consumed with this act of baptism that actually you can forget why you're even doing it. I wonder if sometimes we get so consumed with serving Jesus and we forget. And so John, in his kindness, is saying, can I just remind you all what this is about? Come on, look at the words again. He's taken them down now. He's going, she's off, she's waffling. Put them back up again for me, James, that would be great. Ta-da, there they are. John says this, but I've written these words so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life. John says, I've written all of this for two reasons. I want you to believe in Jesus. I want you to believe that he is who he said he is. I want you to know and believe that he is God. Can I tell you something? He was God. Only God could take the price and pay for our sins. Only God could do that. He is God. He wasn't just a good man. We're not just celebrating a good man here. We're celebrating God. God. Only God could conquer death. Only God could come alive again. This is God. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know, I've had people say to me, fellow Christians, that's a bit presumptuous, isn't it? That you would just think only Jesus is the way. He's God. Only God can say, I'm God. If he wasn't God, he couldn't say it. How many times do you read that they're trying to say to Jesus, who are you? And he just says, I am. And yet today we live in a world that wants to question that. Well, surely there's other ways. No, because he was God. That's why he could say it. Only God could be the way. No other way can be the way but God. That's our God. And John says, I want you just to know. There's just two things here. I want you to believe in him. So I've got a simple question for you this morning. We've heard Sue's story. We've heard Lynn's. We've heard Henry's. What about you? Do you believe in God? Do you really believe in him? Because the reason we're here today is because we believe in him. The whole gospel story, the Easter weekend, is so that we might believe in him. And another translation, and actually it's the one that I've got here, which is why you might be saying, Sarah, there's not 36 words. In my translation, it says, John says that you might continue to believe in him. I wonder how long you've been following Jesus. I've got an Easter message for you this morning. Continue to believe in him. Is that landing on anyone this morning? I've got a message for you. Keep going. Don't give up. In Paul's letter, the book of Colossians, we read right in chapter 1, he says, I'm thanking God for you, I'm praying for you, and he says, I want you to continue in the faith that you have. This morning on this baptism Sunday, on this resurrection Sunday, John's words echo throughout all the years, and they say, continue to believe. I don't know where you're at right now. Maybe some doubt's creeping in. Maybe you're struggling with some things. I'm here today to, as it were, put my arm around you and say, come on, let's continue to believe in him. Why? Because Mary Jane said this to me a couple of days ago. Do you know if there's one thing we can grab from Easter? Jesus did what he said. Like Resurrection Sunday, he came alive again. Which means he'll continue to do what he said, which means he's coming back again. This stuff's real. This stuff's real. So I want to tell you, Christian, don't give up. Keep on believing in him. Lynn, your story's precious because you're keeping on believing in him. Sue, your story, I want to tell you this. I love that your story began here, praying a prayer, doing the Alpha course, doing Kingzuki, now in a Connect group. Do you know what that is? That's continuing to believe. And Sue, this isn't the end. This is just the beginning. Continue. The second thing John says is this. He says that you might have life. Can you put the words back up again, James? Is that okay? Just go up one more time. He says, I've written this that you might believe in him, and that by believing in him, you might have life. When Jesus first appeared to his disciples in his resurrected body, as they gathered together, terrified, in a locked room, does anyone know what the first word he spoke over them was? Peace. Peace. We don't fully grasp that word. For us, it just means either a bit of peace and quiet, or it means I'm not worried. That's how we interpret peace. Also, Jesus saw that they were worried and he said, peace. That's not what it was. It's what I'm wearing. Jesus said this word over them. And just so you know, for the more observant among you who were going, I'm sure Sarah was wearing that when she was in the baptismal pool. And didn't it get wet? And has she just quickly stuck it in a tumble dryer? No, when I like something, I get two of them. Okay. So I ordered two t-shirts this week. Different sizes. The more observant of you will notice that as well. This one's slightly bigger. I panicked that the first one wasn't, so I ordered another. Anyway, moving on quickly. When Jesus sees his disciples in his resurrected body, the first thing he says to them is shalom. Can I tell you what this beautiful word means? It's a Hebrew word. Some of you know this. In its truest sense, it means complete. Wait for it. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Can I say that again? Complete. Nothing broken, nothing missing. That's a description of the Garden of Eden. It's exactly how God always intended it to be. Sin disrupted it all. We got it wrong. And Jesus came to bring shalom. He came to breathe over us today, shalom. Not just peace so that you're not worried. This isn't just for people that are anxious. That's how we interpret peace. And if you're not anxious, you think, oh, that's all right, I don't need as much of that. No, you need shalom. Just maybe you need shalom more because you're not really aware of it so much. Can I just say that? The Bible says, blessed are you when you acknowledge your need of me. You're sitting here this morning, you say, oh, I suffer with so much anxiety. That's okay. Jesus speaks shalom over you. But you sit here today going, I don't suffer with anxiety. You need his shalom. You need his shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing. And my gospel tells me this, that Jesus Christ on the cross through his death and through his resurrection has brought shalom into our lives. And my journey of faith is journeying shalom until one day I see him face to face and I am complete. So yeah, I've got two t-shirts. Do you know what? I might go and buy another one. I advise you to go and do the same. Let's become a community of believers that wear t-shirts that say shalom. Shalom, the wholeness of God. This is the good news of Jesus. Like, I don't know about you, but I look around and I see a broken, messed up world. I look in the mirror and I see the brokenness of my own life. And so I choose to receive shalom. And I say, shalom, come and make your home with me. Jesus walked into the room where they were terrified and he breathed on them. And he breathed peace on them and he said, shalom. Shalom. From now on, nothing is broken, nothing is missing. As I wrap this up, you say to me, but Sarah, it is. Yes. And I want to come back to you and say, this is a walk of faith. I want to say to you that the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says now we see in part, but there's coming a day when we'll see in full. But I want to declare today that the work of the cross brings full shalom for all of us. And at the moment, we're still in this body and we're still in this world and we live in that brokenness. But one day, he is going to return and he is going to make it all new again. Shalom. But I want to tell you this, that your spirit can know the power of shalom right now. Right now, in the depths of your being, your mind might be troubled, your heart, your body might be sick, but in the depths of your spirit, right now, the core of who you are, you can know the miracle of shalom. You can know that. That's my experience. And I would love to pray for anyone this morning that would say, Sarah, I want that. Sarah, I want to welcome Jesus into my life, the Prince of Peace. When the angels declared that Jesus was coming, the Christmas story, they said, peace on earth. Shalom, shalom on earth. Why don't you just close your eyes just for a moment? Let's just be quiet. I would love to pray for anyone this morning that would say, Sarah, on this Easter Sunday, I want to declare that I'm believing in Jesus. And on this Easter Sunday morning, I want to welcome shalom into my life. The Prince of Peace, the one who will make me whole. If that's you, do you want to just put your hand up so I can just see? Because I'd love to pray for you. Nobody else is looking, but I would love to be able to pray for you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Is there anybody else? Yes, thank you. I'm just going to wait a little bit longer on this Easter Sunday. Thank you. This is the best day when you can just say, Jesus, I welcome you into my life. Your wholeness. Your wholeness. Is there anybody else before I pray? Just want to just put your hand up, put it back down again, just to say, Sarah, just pray for me. Just pray for me today. I want to declare I'm following Jesus. Yes. Yeah. Can we all pray together? I want to lead us in a prayer, but can we all say this together? This isn't scripted. I'm just going to pray from my heart, okay? I don't do scripted very well, but just follow with me, okay, as we just pray. Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for this Easter story. I'm so thankful for your death. I'm so thankful for your resurrection. And Jesus, on this Easter Sunday, I'm declaring that I need you. And I'm telling you, I believe in you. I don't understand it all. So will you help me? Can we walk this journey together? Lord Jesus, today, I welcome you into my life. Shalom. Come and fill every part of me. Amen.